Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a holy shit, there's a lot to talk about. Friday edition of the Macko and Cos podcast. Canada setting history. The Leafs hire a coach. I'm leaving this all in. Who gives a shit? And Darren Radich sign and trade. Bob and Spider-Man. Spider-Man as well. How you doing?
I'm good. And Canadian soccer.
I said that, but I rambled it so quickly.
Sure, I got thrown off by the idea of the Leafs hiring a coach.
Yeah. Huge news if true.
I love that saying. Big if true.
Yeah. By the way, on topic, I had Greg Wyshynski on the other day after the Leafs hired Jim Hiller, and Greg was mentioning one of his sources. And I said, you know, Greg, my only source is when Bob Mackiewicz tells me something about a conversation he had with Jeff Merrick. That's basically the only source I have.
Now, did Greg know who I was?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, he immediately laughed and recognized. Yeah.
That's really funny because Jeff will bring me up on the pod, and one time Greg completely eviscerated one of my points.
Really?
Yeah, I noticed Jeff didn't say, hey, listen in. Because I wrote Jeff a text and he's like, oh, this is really interesting. I'd like to talk about this on the show. He goes, are you okay with that? And if I use your name, I said, yeah, no problem. What do I care? I do the pod with Matt. I'm not hiding my opinions. And I listened to about the first 30 seconds and Greg started off by saying, that is wrong for so many reasons. And I just thought, you know, I'm not going to listen.
But do you even remember what it was?
Yeah, it was basically one of my favorite topics, my hobby horse about just if the best thing about your game is the game itself, then you're in decline because everything now is selling the game as an entertainment package, meaning like how we participate with it is more important than the game itself.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And he fucking really clobbered that point, or at least it looked like he was going to. And I thought, you know what? I'm too old.
Yeah.
To hear how wrong I am.
Do you?
Jeff liked it.
Wow. This is so irresponsible. But it's a weird thing when people in the media hit a certain age and they're still finding beefs and they're still yelling on Twitter about something. It's like you're in your 40s or 50s. Your kid is graduating from grade 8. What are you doing over here?
I don't care what anyone thinks about me anymore. And they honestly couldn't think less of me than I do. So, like, what's the win, you know? I actually really like Greg. I think he's extremely good at what he does. I have an important question before we get into sports. Yesterday, I went to watch the soccer game, went up to Maple to visit my sister-in-law, and a bunch of family got together there. Me and Cece jumped on the TTC and went up, which took 2 hours, by the way. Regardless, my sister-in-law put out some food. She went and ordered wings. And she ordered a sushi tray. This isn't so much a question as it is an observation. I'm a big eater. The problem with wings is you get the little plate and there's a finite number of them so people can see how many of them you've eaten based on the pile of carnage on your plate. But the sushi tray, you eat the evidence.
What I love about this point is A, you're right, because also what's the shaming point more, the amount of full wings or the amount of times the empty bones you're putting, and you know someone is side-eyeing you. They're counting the amount of wings. Like that's
there was a, other people are putting their plates into the bowl and it's like, oh, three or four wings. And it comes to me and it's the Sarlacc pit is going into the wing bowl.
It looks like something out of Mad Max, just a mountain of bones.
Yeah, it's the opening scene of Terminator. Where there's just like the mountain of skulls.
Yeah, that's why I have been known, if I've been home for a couple of days, when I know Amy's coming home, maybe the empty bottles of wine go in the recycling. Because if there's no bottles for someone else to see, were they there? It's sort of like a functional alcoholic's version of if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears, did it make a sound?
You know, this is, that's brilliant and sad. I learned this lesson when I was in high school, and my girlfriend and I, back in like I don't know, grade 12 or something, skipped the afternoon, went back to my place, and my mom's like, "You didn't go to school this afternoon." I thought, how could she have known? That's freaky. And then I realized we didn't throw out our garbage. Like, we put it into the garbage, so my mom would have opened up the lid and seen new garbage there.
Because Amy doesn't listen to this, she'll never know of the little thing of the high-end gelato that was in the garbage for empty, was in there for a day, and now, but I destroyed that evidence, Bob. I destroyed it.
Well, it's like the Epstein files. They never even existed. That gelato was a hoax. It
Should
was
I
the
use that as
Obamas.
the descriptor? Matt goes full Epstein files to destroy evidence.
Say Epstein files, soccer, and Darren Radish. And if people don't tune into that, I don't know what they're going to do. You know what was amazing yesterday? Two things really jumped out at me. One, Jesus, Mark Carney and his wife are fit. Two, the game really needed a fight after the Kone injury. And God, it reminded me of the Tavares injury against Montreal, in the playoffs, where it's just like all the energy went out of the building. Like, they scored that fourth goal and they didn't even know how to celebrate. So when they had the skirmish at the end of the game, I was actually grateful because they needed it.
Well, they did because also afterwards, Qatar was still doing some dirty tackling after it. You know, they're like, oh my, like the one guy who, you know, who injured Kone looked legitimately upset and shook, like when a pitcher hits a batter in the face and they don't mean to. But then moments after that, they're still doing dirty shit. They should have had a red card earlier in it. Fuck Qatar. Like that was a dirty response for them. Everything, I mean, the tackle itself was irresponsible, but I think everything after that might have been worse than the actual breaking of a leg.
Yeah, it was pretty undistinguished for Qatar's team, and I thought we handled ourselves well, but it was an unlosable game at that point. So it's not like being out of sync was going to cost them potentially the win. They were too far ahead at that point. And you're playing nine men. They were never going to lose that game at that point. But you wonder how that's going to roll forward, and it's really going to test the leadership group, not just because you're losing an important player in Kone, but these things, like, people are like, oh, maybe it'll catalyze them and it'll make them, they'll win for him. Maybe it'll throw them off because their chemistry's gone. I don't know. It's just, this is a really big deal, and I think they'll be okay, but I'm not sure.
Well, they certainly survived just issues with injuries leading up to the
Yeah.
tournament. And
Good point.
Kyle Larin didn't start in game one and then, you know, scored and then started last night and got a goal. Bombito played the final 45 minutes, so that's an upgrade. Hopefully, because they didn't need to use Alphonso Davies, he'll be ready to go against Switzerland. So I think there's a more than enough depth there. But Kone was also really good against Bosnia. You know, he was one of the more creative players in the middle of it all. And yeah, it's absolutely going to be a loss. How can it not be where every game just gets harder and harder? Canada's not playing Qatar again, you know, and the odds are they're making the group of 32, even if they lose to Switzerland. So it's a massive loss.
Yeah, though, it's funny, we can talk about soccer, but for both of us, admittedly, it's pretty surface level conversation because we have
Correct.
followed the game our whole lives the way some people have. I'm really happy for the people who have, the day oneers, the people who have been with this since 86. This is such a big deal and such an advancement in our sporting culture. It's very cool. The other thing is, over the last couple of years, I've gotten more into soccer, still a total newbie. It's not like I own DAZN and I'm watching games, but I follow it a little. And it's kind of the best sport to follow. You got a local club team, you've got a national team, you've probably got a foreign club team, there's the Champions League. There's just a lot to follow. It's not like hockey where you go, I like the Leafs.
I disagree, Bob. There is too much. And then like my producer is, you know, his premier team won it. I'm like, oh, so they won it all? Yes. But then they play next week for another championship. It's like I'm convinced soccer was created to confuse xenophobic North Americans because I can't keep up with it all. It's like, wait, is the league going on? It's done? Who won? Just who won? And it's always they won, dot, dot, dot. But there's this. I'm like, no, no. I just keep it simple. I'm a simple man. You know,
the team that won is Arsenal, and I also follow them. I mean, not really, but I kind of do. And there was a third championship they could have won. They could have won the FA Cup, which is a almost like, you know, the NBA play, the tournament in season, the NBA Cup. It's based on the FA Cup, where it's an in-season tournament that runs alongside the season, and then the top four teams each year get to play in the Champions League, where the best club teams from every country play for, you know. And then we didn't even mention Euros. Then there's the Euros.
Just let me know who's bending it. That's it. Just who's bending it? How about that? How about that? Yeah.
You know what, Matt? Yeah. Honestly, if that's not the best line of the show, I don't know. I just don't.
You know, the Epstein gelato one wasn't bad. I will say, though, Bob, to your earlier point, my opening thought was, before the Radish news, was really about the day oneers. And it wasn't that long ago they're losing 8-0 in Mexico or 8-1 to Honduras. And by the way, it's not that long ago where they played in a World Cup, and then they were claiming there was bankruptcy issues with Soccer Canada. That was 3 years ago. To go from that to where we are now, where Canada has a legitimate chance of beating Switzerland and getting a really favorable matchup in Vancouver in the group of 32, is fucking awesome. So, like, I'm of both minds. On one level, me, dumb. On the other level, I am putting the time and effort to really appreciate what's going on.
I went and watched the Arsenal team win the championship, and they know so many chants. Honestly, I was at the World Cup game, and my buddy Adam turns to me and he says, "We don't know what to chant. Like, all we can do is say, 'Go Canada, go.'" But the other sides, they've got like a dozen chants, like, for different scenarios. It's amazing. We need a chant, Matt. We need a chant.
Bob, ours, you know how it would be here for like a hockey game. It would be called 1-800-267-2001, Alarm Force. We would just do corporate ones. That would be it.
I'm loving it. Why buy a mattress anywhere else?
Boom. You beat me to it. I was going to do Sleep Country. Yes, that's what we would do.
That's, oh God, that might be the best. You're on fire today. Hey, let's talk about Radish. What are your thoughts before I mess everything up with my jargon?
The biggest one for me is, now we know. The Leafs are going all in. That's it. They're going all in. If Austin Matthews is sitting there going, are they really trying to win for the rest of my athletic prime? Yeah, they are. 8-year deal, like $8.5 million for Radish. First and foremost, that is my number one thought. We know the direction of this team. There is no gray zone with them.
That's a good point. They said they were going to do it, and then they went and did it. So even though I think they should take a step back, and maybe even a big step back, so that they can move forward in the future, I would rather see them do that. However, if you're not going to do that, then you at least have to execute the plan you do have effectively. And so they went out and got the best defenseman they could, at least on the free agent market. And, you know, the deal, what is it, like 8x8 million, 8x8.5 million? Like, it's big. It's a big one for a 30-year-old, for sure. Right defenseman. Gigantic shot for the power play. Third in defenseman scoring last year behind, I think it was Chychrun and Schaefer. Like, for goals.
Yeah.
You know, these are all major areas of deficiency for the Leafs, so they just got a lot better by bringing this guy in. And if Chris Tanev's healthy, their defense got a lot better. It was shit last year. It was awful. So did it get better like it's, you know, Carolina Hurricanes better? I don't know about that.
Nope.
But it did get better, and this is their plan. So, you know, good on the Leafs. I don't agree with what they're doing, but they should at least try to do it well.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the move of a team that wanted to convince their superstar to stay, and this was also the move of a team that doesn't have a first-round draft pick for the next 2 years. So it's like, nope, we're here now. We're going all in. And I don't care about the money. The cap is going up, up, up. We have to forget about what it was during all the COVID years. The money doesn't matter nearly as much. The term means more. but he was a late bloomer. There's less tread on the tire. So yeah, there's a lot of positives. When he stepped in for Victor Hedman, his numbers went way up. If we're going to do the nitpicks, and we should, because it's a free agent, is that how much of, actually, to me, the more fascinating one, Bob, is the psychological one. This guy never made more than $1 million a year. Now he's making over $8 million. This isn't being cynical about Darren Radish. This is about acknowledging the human condition that sometimes when you make this money, have you crossed the finish line or will he embrace, no, I'm at the midway point. I'm at a hydration break, if we're going to use a World Cup term. This is not the end. This is the middle.
He's a local kid, and I don't know how that factors into the answer to your question, because he would understand what winning means to this market specifically. I'm sure if he's coming here, like somebody else would have paid him at least almost as much. Maybe the Leafs offered him the most. You know, we're not quite at free agency, so it's a little early to say that. Regardless, he knows what he's getting into. So he must be up for the game, because you couldn't come here and say, I'll just float for 8 years and not think that your house was going to get egged. So yeah, I think my feeling is now he's rich and he probably wants to be remembered.
Yeah, you got the money. Also, by the way, a little message to all NHL players, because as you said, he's coming to Toronto. He knows what he's getting into. There was a parade yesterday in New York for a team that has much more scrutiny, almost as many ghosts, and more fans than the Maple Leafs, and that's the New York Knicks. Seems to me they're having a pretty good fucking time, and I imagine their parade is going to be more significant than the Carolina Hurricanes. So to all the hockey players out there, and also being in New York, high taxes, and you can't golf in February, maybe there is more to life than being within 2 hours' drive of Orlando.
Yeah, that's a good point. I saw it was going to be a ticker tape parade, and I thought, I want to be in a ticker tape parade just once. I want to walk down Bay Street and have streamers of paper flying out of the, well, wherever they would fly out of. There's no windows, but they'll figure it out. Ticker tape.
Yeah.
If you're selling Auston Matthews, you bring in Jim Hiller, who was the Leafs power play guy. And you bring in Darren Radish, who is a big power play shot. And I thought, they told him you can get back to 50 goals a year. We've got to make the power play better. You know, one of the great things about Auston Matthews over the years is, you know, he scored a lot 5-on-5 for a lot of his career. But it ain't wrong to get some freebies on the power play. And it seems to me like they're really trying to address that, which is smart. Honestly, it's smart. It's the right thing to do. You know, I give Chayko a lot of credit for a lot of the stuff he's done. I've pretty much liked everything he's done since he's taken over.
Yeah. You've done the small to medium move of the Wall trade to help improve on defense and also get some cap relief and get a draft pick. And now you go after it. If you're going to go all in, then you go all in. And by the way, Bob, there's a lot of me that was more like, no, this team is so far away. Take a couple steps back. But again, of course, the first round picks. My biggest concern, it's not even the career high thing, because he also got more minutes. So he got the opportunity and he ran with it. And he also produced not on a shitty team. He produced on a Tampa team that was playing with stakes every night, that was fighting to try to win the Atlantic, that was fighting for playoff positioning. So it's not like he gobbled up all these points on a bad team. I think that is a big deal. I think the big concern is Tampa's a smart team. If they're willing to trade Darren Radish to a division rival, is that because they're in salary cap hell, or is that because they just know a lot more than everyone else?
I believe they offered him 5x5.75 as the beginning of their negotiation. And that's probably just because you have to give a number. Obviously, he was never going to say yes to that. I think there's always a worry when a smart team gives up on somebody. You know, there's always those GMs where, like, if Oklahoma City's GM calls you in basketball, hang up.
Yeah.
Hang up. You know, if Eric Tulsky on line one, nope. Disconnect.
Yeah. He's on line one. Is Stan Bowman on line two? I'd like to take that line. Oh, that line's a good line. Give me that line.
Oh, man. They need to have a Stan Bowman hotline where it just flashes red.
Everyone's like, "Oh, this is not a drill. Everyone get there."
Matt, in a nerdy hockey way, that's going to be the best joke of the show. The Stan Bowman hotline.
Well, I apologize to Epstein.
No,
That line out
no.
of context is not good.
No, even in context, it's not great.
Fair.
You know that Radish played junior hockey with Connor McDavid in Erie?
I did not know
And
that.
he played for the Toronto Marlies, like the Marlboros, like major minor midget. So I don't know if that means anything. I'm just going to put it out there. Submitted for your interest. There is a long-standing history between Radish and McDavid.
Oh, wait. Stan Bowman, he just sent me a text. He wants you to shut the fuck up.
Did the red light go off?
It did. He's willing to give you a unprotected first if you shut the hell up and let me be annoying.
Noticed, and you made an interesting point here, is that since Chayka took over, there was the disastrous press conference and so on and so forth. I think they've actually done some pretty smart things. At the very least, they're not dumb things. And last year, they did dumb things, and you could see it coming. But no, they've done some okay things. But people, it's almost like they forget how to not be angry at the team. Like I'm watching Sid Sixero, who's talking about how this is an example of how horrible this franchise is and who the hell is Jim Miller. And I thought, well, he's a bona fide NHL coach. He's got a history with the Stars. He had a pretty mediocre team in LA and he got them to play defensively responsibly. And it seems like he's a good communicator and philosophically he falls in line with the GM. Why would that hire make us the worst franchise in sports?
Yeah, it's weird when a coaching hire that was fine,
Fine.
you should not go, that's horrible for something that's fine. I'm convinced, again, a lot of it is that especially if you're in your 40s or younger, you just want new and interesting and different. Pavelski, interesting, new, different. Hiller, boring. Oh, you got the boring guy. Oh, that sucks. And then you get upset. And also, Bob, one other thing, it's not like the Leafs deserve a lot of the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's fair, but it also speaks to like people don't know how to not be mad at the team. Like if they bring in somebody who's a big name, it's like, oh God, they just always do this. They just bring in the biggest name and they don't work out. You don't bring in somebody who's well known, they're like, this organization deserves better. Why couldn't we get the best? So I just think people are like, it's funny, I was talking to somebody about this, and they just said, everybody needs a vacation. Just get away from the team for a little while. They're going to spend some time, try to improve. We'll see where it goes from here. I really noticed this with the Wall trade. People were like, it was like we were trading Patrick fucking Waugh or something. Like, Joseph Waugh is okay. He had some great starts. He's had some okay numbers. He's looked really good at times. He's also not been very reliable. Does he have a decent contract? Yeah, he does. But guess what, guys? The Montreal Canadiens had Sam Montembeault as their goalie. He didn't work out. So they brought in Dobish. And that was better. Goalies are nuts. Don't get married to a goalie, even if they have a good year. Clearly, they couldn't deal Stolarz. Clearly, they didn't want four goalies for three spots. They got some okay stuff for it. And people are acting with their hair on fire like, what is this organization doing? It's a minor deal. It's minor.
Yeah. And listen, if all goes right, you get that Emile Kidd and Brandon Carlo on the third D pairing. That's good. I'd be thrilled with if that was the third D pairing for this team. It's an improvement.
It's funny. I wrote down a note to myself. Carlo's got to be next. And that's mostly because you just want guys who want to be here. And I'm not sure he does. He's got one more year left on his deal. I really can't see him re-signing. We're not talking enough about what asset could we get for him. And, he's right-handed D. He's, I think, 29 years old. His cap hit is very manageable this year. I could see him going somewhere else, being happy, playing well,
Or
and something in return.
plays with Jim Hiller, maybe he plays better. And now other defensemen are brought in, a little less is expected of him, and maybe you get like a legitimate bounce back year. I can be positive, Bob. I'm taking your point. I'm here to be happy. I'm letting myself love again.
It is a lot more fun. I will say, though, we got to clear up the air. We did got to do a bit of a smudging around this team. And, you know, Carlo was on the ice when Austin Matthews got cranked by Radko Gudas, and he didn't do anything about it. People really ripped the shit out of Morgan Rielly, but he wasn't the only defenseman on the ice at the time. I'm not, I would be shocked if Carlo resigned, just based on the fact that he doesn't seem very happy out there, and he hasn't played especially well, and he's a pretty good player. So, you know, look, when you come here because of a trade, it's not because you executed it. Like the Ryan O'Rielly thing, you got to take into account, maybe this isn't the right fit for them, even though they work better in a hockey sense.
In the end, it's fair to say, Bob, that between now and the next month, the defense is going to look different. It's not whoever's here now, don't expect them all to be here. And in the end, for Darren Radish, here's what I'm rooting for. Mark Giordano. Mark Giordano made his first All-Star team at the age of 32. He would make two more All-Star teams after that. He won the Norris at the age of 35. Is he the greatest defenseman of all time? No. But we see this path. And that's what you're hoping for Darren Radish, who didn't start playing defense till much later than your classic NHL defenseman, acquitted himself very well when he got the opportunity with Tampa, and now here's hoping the trappings of money don't take any of the eye of the tiger off of him.
I really like that point. I think that's a really good point. Maybe we end our Leafs talk there because there's a whole bunch of other stuff to get to. Do you have anything else you want to add? We only got a few minutes.
No, that's more than enough, but we got 3 minutes here, so what do we want to get to beyond you trying to get to Maple in 2 hours?
Darren Peterson.
Oh.
Within the NBA draft, not wanting to work out for anyone but Washington. I was thinking about, like, talent is such a weird thing. And it's just so hard to have a number one pick or like a really top pick because there's so much pressure to get it right. You never want to pass on the guy who could be good. But fuck, nothing is a warning flag for me more these days than guy wants to do his own thing. As soon as I hear a guy wants to do his own thing, I'm like, it's never going to work with his first team. It's never going to work.
My question is, who is his team around him? Who's advising him for this? Because I get the idea of, hey, you're a great player. You want to show the world. You've got a strong ego. You're in control of yourself. You have the self-belief of deserving to be number one. But you don't know where your life is going to be in 5 years. You don't know where the organizations that you don't like in 2026, how are they going to change and adopt and evolve in time? And this decision that you are doing on June of 2026, it could bite you in the ass in 3 years. But there's no upside. There's zero upside, and there's only downside of what you're doing.
So here's my hope, Matt. My hope is that AJ DeBanza goes to Washington, Carlos Boozer goes to, Cameron Boozer, I should say, goes to Utah. Won't be the last time I make that mistake. And then this kid goes to Memphis, which makes Ja Morant expendable, and the Raptors take a good long look at him. That's my hope.
I like it. It's the dominoes here, Bob. The dominoes of eventually leading back to the Toronto Raptors.
As all roads must. We're going to be in the middle for a little while until we get another star player, and you got to take risks. Yep. De'Aaron Fox is just a little too much money for who I think he can be in terms of his ceiling, but Ja Morant can be a top 10 player.
Bob, I'd love to continue this, but there's empty bottles of Chardonnay and a Baskin Robbins mint chocolate chip ice cream that needs to be eliminated.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.